Right, I'm just going to have a little read through these cards.
Right.
All of the brothers in the world. To Martin.
Sorry?
Happy birthday. Hope you have a good lockdown birthday. Definitely one to remember.
Oh.
Happy birthday to a grandson who's cool, fantastic and brilliant. Many happy returns.
Oh.
To a brilliant son. Wishing you a fantastic and really great day. A few more here. Happy birthday, Martin.
You're trying to say something.
Struggling to see any anything from Laura Kress.
Oh, I've got this
Little box of brownies from a friend of mine. She baked them especially. Mmm, they smell amazing. Are they from? No, they're not from Laura Kress. It's weird. It's just must not have turned up in the post.
Yes, it must have. Did it get lost in the post?
Yeah, it must have not arrived. Anyway, terrible friends aside, welcome to this edition of Null Poir. My name's Martin, that's terrible friend Laura Kress. I've just had a birthday, and this is Null Poir.
Null Poir is shameful.
Null Poir is lack of respect for viewers.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Null Poir is no fun.
Happy birthday, Martin.
Oh.
When was your birthday?
Now, does it? Yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday. And look, we're doing this podcast.
We spoke quite a lot yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. But, like, why on earth would I know when your birthday was?
Well, I don't know.
Do you know when mine is? Come on.
I'm just saying we've known each other since... We've known each other now...
He avoided that, didn't he?
12, 13 years?
Yeah. When's mine then? Come on.
Oh, I need to get this right.
Funny, you just don't remember unless someone says. If you'd said, it's my birthday.
Your birthday is in April?
No, it's literally nowhere near that.
February?
It's in July, Martin.
I was going to say July.
Yeah, that's why you said April, I guess. So point proven there, I think, listeners.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes, welcome to this edition of Null Poir. I am Martin, that is Laura Kress, and we are here to talk about all things Eurovision. Bit of an exciting thing coming up a little bit later on in the podcast, because we are trying our hand at being YouTube stars.
Yes, and the emphasis is on trying. We've got our first YouTube video hopefully out. I'm going to say hopefully just in case technical issues means it doesn't come out, but hopefully it comes out. And it's all about us reacting to songs that got Null Poir. So that'll be, we'll play a little bit of that later on. And obviously you can check out the full video on our YouTube channel. But first, we've got some news, haven't we, Martin?
We do. We have some news from Germany. And this relates to what's going to be happening in 2021 for Germany. Now, you might remember the 2020 offering that Germany put forward, a song called Violent Thing. I really liked it. It was by a guy called Ben Dolich, and it was really good. Is that not how you say his name? Is that what you're laughing?
Ben Dolich.
Ben Dolich. Anyway, Benny Boy, yeah. He had a song called Violent Thing. I didn't really like the title, but the song itself was really, really good. I really liked it. I don't know whether you were that bothered about it.
I thought Ben Dolich did a good job with Violent Thing. Yeah, I thought it was definitely one that was going to be maybe in the top five.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that obviously didn't happen because the contest didn't happen. But we have been hearing over the last few months that a lot of the people that were going to be performing in 2020 are just going to be performing in 2021. Lots of big names, of course, the biggest of whom being Iceland's entry. Now, Dardi, we've spoken about that many, many times on this podcast before. He is going to be going forward to represent Iceland in 2021, and loads of other people are doing the same, representing their countries in 2021. Not Ben Dolich. Oh no, he will not be representing Germany.
No, he will not. He's made it clear that it's his decision. He's voluntarily chosen this. He wrote on Instagram saying, "Hey everyone, I've enjoyed every moment of the Eurovision journey. Appreciate everyone who believed in me and has been there every step of the way. This will truly be a chapter in my life that I'll always cherish and look back at. My career's taken a different
direction. Hold on. I'll always cherish that time I wasn't on Eurovision.
Yeah, but you have the buzz around it. You know, you still get a lot of interviews and, yeah, okay. I get... Yes, it's a bit of an odd thing to say because obviously he wasn't on, and yes, I agree. It's a slightly odd thing to say. But anyway,
my career has taken a different direction.
Yeah.
I've grown so much as an artist, and there's still so much more that I want to treat. I kind of, maybe I'm just, this is bad blood here, but that kind of feels like a bit of a dig at Eurovision there. Like, I've grown up. I don't want Eurovision anymore.
It does feel a bit like he said, I've grown past Eurovision now and I don't really need it. Like at the time, maybe he was a slightly lesser known artist. Now people know him as a name, especially globally as well as in Germany. So he doesn't really need it anymore. I've decided not to participate at the Eurovision next year. It's been a hard and a difficult decision to make, but the right one at this moment in time. And then he sort of thanks everyone for love and support. Yeah, it does feel a little bit like he's sort of saying, well, now I'm known as a name because of Eurovision. Even if I didn't take part in it, I don't kind of need to do it again.
Yeah. Ben, I don't want to say anything too nasty because I liked your song the first time around and I wish you all the best, but I reckon you should have taken part, mate.
Right, so we were having a little chat about our new YouTube video that's out.
Ah, yes.
Yes, where we are going to be looking back at the songs, because we're called Nullpoir, we're going to be looking back at the songs that got Nullpoir during the Eurovision Song Contest and deciding whether they deserved them. And the first one is quite a special one because it's Jan Tegen, who we've mentioned on the show before. And he was actually the first artist to get Nullpoir under the current system. And his song Mil et un Mil came out in 1978. And weirdly enough, even though it got Nullpoir, Martin, he still went on to top the national singles charts for 2 months after with that song.
See, some people can't put a good dog down. That's the issue there, I would say. They've said, we've sent him there, we think he's done a good job, nobody else agrees, we're gonna keep on with him, and right they should. That's it, back your own horse, that's what I reckon. Lots of animal analogies
Weird turn you took there, but never mind. He became a national hero in Norway after this song. He topped the national singles charts. He even had a follow-up single saying I won't give up. He had an album out called This Year's Loser, so clearly He knew what he was doing. He was having a bit of fun with it, which I think is good fun. But the thing is, he even went on to represent Eurovision again. He was in Eurovision twice after that, 1982, 1983. He came 12th and 9th, so he did a little bit better than getting Nullpoir.
A little bit.
He did pass away early on this year, but I think his legacy lives on, particularly in Norway. He was known before he entered the competition, but he's certainly known now after that song.
Yeah. Now, what you're about to hear is a little clip from the video, which you can go and see in full on YouTube, and we'll try and put links wherever we possibly can to make that really easy for you to find. You'll hear a little clip. I'm going to play you a little bit of the song, and then you'll hear our thoughts on it from that video. We should maybe, just before we hear the clip, explain what we are looking at, because I think a lot of our reaction to this is quite visual, just because you just need to see this guy. I mean, he is something to behold.
He certainly is, yeah. So he's got these kind of like aviator glasses, the kind of glasses my dad used to wear, until we eventually told him, like, look, Dad, they look awful, they're terrible. These big, you know the ones, these big long glasses.
The aviators, something. Mm.
He's got this long tie, he's got this kind of open, slightly open collar shirt that's not really, it's like the collar's all up.
Yeah, he's forgotten to get dressed, basically. He's still in what he was wearing for work the night before. He slept in it. He's woken up. He's gone, oh, God, I've got to do the Eurovision. And he's pegged it down to the arena. And he's just turned up in it. So he's got a scruffy old shirt. His tie's not properly done up. He's wearing white braces on top of this white shirt. And onto one of the white braces is attached a gold rose. Don't really understand that, but
I didn't get that either. I didn't really get the point of the gold rose. Maybe we'll have to look into that. Maybe there's some significance there. But I don't know, Martin. To think, despite all of that, as you'll see in our reactions, I think he still works it.
I think he does as well. Here we go then. Little clip of this song, and then our reaction from our YouTube video. Love the fact that it has an orchestra. I'm all for that.
In he comes, he's bowing. Quick, Jan, get to the mic.
Oh, wow. Look at the glasses.
I love the glasses.
Oh, my word. This has gone to another level. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Do you know what? That is a worthy null poir.
Oh,
I am pleased with that.
I really enjoyed that. I thought I really enjoyed his enthusiasm. I believe there was some dispute about the song apparently got changed quite a lot compared to how he wanted it. And I think this was his little way of being like, well, the song might not be exactly what I want, but I'm just going to sing it anyway. I'm going to do it the way I want to do. And you could tell he did it the way he wanted it to do, definitely.
Sure. How did he want it to be then?
I believe he wanted it to be not quite as bombastic.
Notes and, oh, right, okay.
Yes, I've got, I can't
different
really...
Notes. Different words, just a different song, really.
Yeah, I believe there was some, it was changed a lot, basically, again and again, meal after meal. Good on him. I love that little turn, the jump. Excellent.
The splits were impressive. Were very impressive. If he'd have put as much effort into his outfit as he had into his acrobatics in that routine, I think that could have gone to another level, maybe even 1 point.
Oh, I think he put a lot of effort into those acrobatics. So do you mean more effort into his costume?
Yeah,
you?
I'm saying he put a lot of effort into the acrobatics, and
yes,
he should have been putting as much, if not more, into the shirt, braces, tie combo.
Yeah, true. Although I think that was a winning combo, quite frankly. I mean, the glasses,
well, I mean,
the shirt.
Statistically, it wasn't.
So this is the part now, Martin, where we decide, and this is what we'll be doing each time. Did that song deserve null poir? And what are your thoughts?
I've got to say no. It didn't deserve null poir. I thought that had enough in it. It's admittedly, I can't remember any of it, and I only listened to it about 20 seconds ago.
I remember it.
Go on then.
Meal, letter meal. That's okay. It. I don't remember. And
there was that bit. There was the operatic element to it. Okay, well, maybe I should need to hear it a few more times to get it in my head. But I thought his performance definitely credited at least a few points. Just his performance alone. The look, he'd got that. Very chiseled jaw. That would have gone down well.
Oh.
Maybe that deserved a few points. And the song itself, it was bombastic. It was kind of get up and go. It made you feel good. I would have liked to have seen some of the ones that scored above that, because yeah, I think that was good.
I agree. And I think it perhaps wasn't, yeah, it's not the best song, but I think he definitely raised it with his enthusiasm and his performance. The song is pretty, yeah, average. But I think, I don't know, maybe people just thought it was a bit over the top. Maybe he was like trying to oversell it, and maybe people were thinking, oh, you know. But I agree, it's difficult when we take it out of the context of the whole contest, whether, you know, obviously there were other ones that were a little bit more understated.
Maybe. Well, thank you very much, Norway's entry in 1978 to the Eurovision Song Contest. We wouldn't have given you null poir.
Yeah, we definitely wouldn't. So there you go, Jan. We would not have given you null poir.
Yes, do go and check out our YouTube video, of which that was a little clip from. We've left the links and everything somewhere for you to find. If it's all gone well, we could be talking now and it all went to pot and it was terrible. But, you know, hopefully it hasn't. Hopefully you'll be able to watch that on YouTube and see what we got up to. I move on, Cress, to some other news regarding the Eurovision Song Contest. And one of the big things about Eurovision, I suppose, for many people, the unsung heroes, we're not talking about the people who you see out on the front of the stage singing their song, representing their countries. We're talking about the commentators, the people who turn up, they sit in those little boxes at the back of the arena, and they relate what is happening on the stage and on the screen to their audiences at home in their own language. It's a big big part of Eurovision. It makes a huge amount of sense because the majority of Eurovision is in English. If you do not speak English, you really do need somebody there explaining to you what's going on and doing it in a way that is, I suppose, in keeping with the way your own country kind of views the song contest. And I think we maybe should spend a moment in a second talking about how wonderful the commentators are and how necessary they are for Eurovision. But first, here is the news. And there was a little bit of, I suppose, worry earlier on in the week. And it's because Graham Norton, who has done the commentary for many years, I think he started in 2009 when he took over from Terry Wogan, who, of course, made that role. He took it from just simply describing what was going on to making it a thing. You know, people are really known for the commentary on Eurovision, probably, I would say, because of Terry Wogan. Anyway, Graham Norton is leaving his BBC Radio 2 job. And that got a lot of people thinking, oh my goodness, does that mean he isn't going to be doing the Eurovision anymore? Are there other BBC things that he will now no longer do? Everybody was worried for a little while, but thankfully, hooray, hooray, he is going to continue commentating on the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes, and that's good to hear, isn't it? At least he's staying on for that, because I really don't know who would replace him. I'm sure they would get somebody, but it needs to be someone who has the knowledge and obviously the experience, but also can bring a bit of deadpan humour. That's what we like specifically in the UK. I think some people, big Eurovision fans, maybe criticise Terry and a little bit as well, Graham, for being a bit too down on some of the Eurovision acts. Some people, you know, prefer there to be a bit more sort of togetherness, and occasionally that maybe fosters this whole UK spirit of it's all a bit of a joke and we don't really care. There is that danger with the humour, but I think Graham certainly treads it a bit lighter than Terry does, and he does, you know, he clearly enjoys. I mean, Terry was very damning of some of the acts.
But Dr. Death and the Tooth Fairy, yeah, springs to mind, wasn't he? The joke was he was banned from Denmark.
Oh, yes, I think there was an issue for a while where, yeah, he basically couldn't set foot there because of some things he'd said. But, yeah, so there you go. I mean, I personally enjoy the commentary, and I understand that it's a bit of a dig, really. But, yeah, it's good to hear that he's still staying on, Graham. And you're right. I think the commentators do have a very tricky job, as well as obviously the presenters. I mean, the presenters more often than not make a mess of it, and the commentators have to kind of pick it up, basically.
Yeah, all power to the commentary teams. I think they do a really, really good job, and they are very often, for some countries, certainly the unsung heroes of the Eurovision Song Contest. They really do make it what it is, which is good. Hats off to you, and hats off to Norton.
Speaking of, so we were talking about like looking at the past. We played you obviously our reactions of 1978's Nullpoix entry, Jan Tegen. So I thought this time for what we like to call trivia time.
Trivia time. Trivia time. Well, hey, trivia time makes its return to the podcast.
Yes, yes. There we go. I thought for this episode's trivia time, we would stick with 1978, where old poor Jan Tegen got Nullpoix, and have a look at the winner of 1978. You probably know it. Israel won with Abani B, da 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 da, do do do. That's a little clip there.
Thank you.
I just sung myself. But yeah, so Israel won. It was a fairly, you know, fairly typical kind of Eurovision song of the time. If you heard that, you'd be like, oh, I can see why that would play in Eurovision. But Jorde DNTV refused to show the actual performance. Instead, they cut to a picture of a bunch of daffodils whilst it was playing.
Okay. Interesting.
Because that's
choice.
Not obvious at all, is it? People won't be like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And as well, when it became apparent that Israel was going to win, apparently most of the Arabic TV stations ended the broadcast early, claiming technical difficulties. Jordan's JTV subsequently told viewers that Belgium had won. Just
what?
Told them Belgium had won.
Yeah, so Belgium won.
Belgium won, so there you go, the end. Belgium had finished 32 points behind Israel in second place, so it was definitely not the case at all. And it wasn't even, weirdly, the winning song. I do feel a bit sorry for Israel in this. It wasn't even appreciated in its homeland. A singer and broadcaster, Rikva Mikkeli, dismissed it as a children's song, said it wasn't representative of the best of Israeli music, I guess because it was kind of poppy and, you know, a bit sort of lighthearted. She also added it only won because all the other entries were absolutely awful. So very harsh on Izhar Cohen, really, and Alpha Beta, who won with Albani B. I don't think it deserved all this. I mean, I could perhaps understand historically what went on with the Arabian TV channels, why there was some kind of kerfuffle there, but very harsh that even its own country kind of rejected it, really.
Yeah. Come on, you got yourself a winner. I mean, sure, it's no Dana International, but you're doing your best there. That's that's not too bad. Not too bad. Well, very good. And another fantastic Chris.
Trivia time.
Well, there we go. Another podcast done and dusted. And this time our foray into YouTube has, well, we don't know whether it's been a success yet. We'll get back to you on that. But at least we've given it a go.
We gave it a go. And that's all you can ask.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you so much for your company over the last little while. It's been good, good, good fun. Please do subscribe. Please do tell your friends if you have Eurovision loving friends or even people that just fancy a little bit of a laugh, please do let them know about the podcast. And please, for goodness sake, get in touch with us. Chris has the details.
Do. And yes, please do give us a 5-star review. We are on iTunes. Give us that review because it really helps with the algorithm. It helps our podcast get seen. And we want more and more people to see this podcast. You might not want that, but that's
but
what
we do.
We want it to happen. So please, please give us a 5-star review. You don't even have to say anything. No. You can just click those stars, and that's it. So yeah, we're on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud, we're on Spotify, we're on all most sort of major podcasty things. And we are also on Twitter, @PoinNull, if you want to tweet us or follow us for all our day-to-day goings on. Go on Instagram as well, NullPoinPodcast. And if you want to send us an email about something on the did you enjoy the YouTube video? Let us know. Get in touch at NullPoinPodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. And we will see you again on another edition of Null Poir.
Thank you.